IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program. Within the studio for today's discussion on how Arba'in procession will revive the Husseini movement all around the world, we have two guest speakers for today's discussion, Sheikh Rouhani and Brother Habib. Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome, Brother and Habib.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for having me. It's always an honor and pleasure to be with you.
You're welcome, Brother. So for today's discussion, we want to talk about being proud of being the Shia. Being proud of being a Shia could be a nice channel, isn't it?
Why? Who says that we are representing it correctly? It could be a burden on the shoulders. Why should we be proud with like this pride that we have? I might be wrong.
And some people might see my words as wrong. Sorry, at least claiming to be the... Because, you know, in the Muslim communities and the Muslim world...
Even as a Muslim.
There are so many people...
Even as a Muslim, being proud. Being proud of being a Muslim. Uh-huh. Who says you're going to die one?
Okay.
Be afraid of your actions. Give more attention to your actions rather than being proud of yourself. Go give more attention to your actions. How you are replicating Islam, how are you representing Islam?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking only about the Shia sect, even for those Muslims who are out there, like we're Muslim and we're proud. All right, Habibi, do Islam correctly. Do it correctly. And what I think is that being proud of being Shia, I don't know, I don't give it that much importance. There is, of course, this prideness that you should have. You should thank Allah, praise Allah, that He guided you to this right path. In this manner, yes. Thanking Allah that He put you in this, and being afraid that He might take you out.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, in this meaning, then okay. There's also something else. On the Day of Judgment, be proud. On the Day of Judgment, it is available. That you over there should be proud of yourself. I died a Shia. Yes, on the Day of Judgment, now in this world. Who says your actions are accepted? Who knows what your intentions are? Who says that your intentions are clear?
You mean being proud by being called a Shia must not overshadow your being a Muslim.
The reality of the Shias.
The reality of Shiism. Or the reality of being a true
your actions,
servant.
Yeah.
That's all right. So, but again, we could see that if you follow truly the path of the IMS, then you can be proud of being a Shia.
Of course, having Zayn about... Zayn, this is Zayn, right? Ghira.
Yes.
Zayn about your religion and your ideologies,
zeal,
defending
yes.
it, zeal.
Yes.
Having zeal about your ideologies and whatnot, defending it, making it precious, making it... You're defending the ideology.
Mm-hmm.
You're not saying that I'm proud of myself or I'm wearing this garnet. Who says you're wearing the garnet anyway?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing. That anyways, that there's something more important to defend. There's something
sometimes
more important to do.
Sometimes going to extreme, especially among the Shias, make them believe that, for example... They can do whatever they like.
Yes.
They can be whatever they like. And then, for example, in the other world, there will be some shafa'a by the infallible imams for your behavior.
Will be shafa'a, but give me something that proves that you will be given the shafa'a.
Am I?
Are you going to die a believer?
Even you will be called a Muslim or not,
yes,
let alone to the Shia.
Yes,
okay.
Who knows that Allah is accepting our actions, or our prayers, our fastings, our love, our sitting down in the majalis.
That's right.
All this need acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of the day. How can you be so sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted your actions?
That's right.
Don't fall into this hope that might be that has no reality to it in there.
But during the recent years, you know, and it's been maybe more than half a century, especially in the Western world, that under the Islamic studies there are some special courses on Shiite studies or Shiism, okay, in the world. They studied the Shia denomination, their belief, and so many books are produced, even by the Westerners, non-Muslims, about the Shia world, their ceremonies, their rituals. What do you think the main interest is for the Shias in order to produce works on them?
Of course, you know, in the modern, let's say in the Western countries or for Western powers, not only now, even in the past centuries, it was something interesting for them to study about different denominations, about different groups of people, because colonialism was there, and this was a kind of a strategy that was adopted by these colonialists in the history. I mean, they might not be well-wishers for us, for Shia Muslims, if they study about us. But the important point here is that I think since the Shia or Shiism grew up so fast and quickly in the whole world, in Middle East, in Africa, and even in the Western societies, and also the Islamic Revolution is nowadays a great power in this area, a Shiite power. So that's why I think it's nowadays for them it's really interesting and also at the same time important to know about this Shiism and Tashayyu, that how can this school of thought or Islamic sect produce or develop this kind of great power in the region, and how these Tashayyu unite these numberless people.
That's right.
And of course, it becomes more interesting, more attractive for the Westerners to study about the power of the Tashayyu. So of course, their intention might be something else. They might want to control, they must want to defeat the Tashayyu, they might to do whatever they want with the Tashayyu. But the reality is this, that the Tashayyu has become a kind of predominant kind of doctrines and teachings in the whole world, particularly in the Islamic world. That is why I think it is because of the nature or the essence of Tashayyu that is that's interesting for the Westerners, and they want to study about Tashayyu. But one point that I wanted to add to this part of our discussion is this, that Tashayyu, sometimes people might define Tashayyu or Shia as a group of people that who always fighting with other Islamic sects, with other people, who always, for example, insult or mock, I don't know, or hurt others. Mm-hmm. I think it's not true about Tashayyu.
Yes.
Because Tashayyu was a kind of, in Arabic language, it's called Mu'tadil, termed as Mu'tadil.
A moderate
people, Amir al-Mu'mineen and Ahl al-Bayt, Ahl al-Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, all of them were moderate people. For example, when it comes to the Khulafa of the Prophet, Tashayyu accept them as Khulafa who were elected by a group of people after the demise of the Holy Prophet. But what we believe in Khilafa and Wisaya of the Prophet is this, that we believe that, okay, this Khilafa and Wisaya is a divine position.
Yes.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should point a person as a caliph, as a successor of the Holy Prophet. But if the people gather somewhere and elect someone as a khalifa, it has happened in the history. It's a reality. Shia Muslims accept this. Accept khilafa of Umar, khilafa of Abu Bakr as khulafa who are elected by the people. And also the Sunni brothers themselves believe in this, that they were elected by the people, not by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None of them says that.
That's right.
So it doesn't mean that if we are Shia, we disagree with all Muslims in everything, in each and everything. No. In maybe 90% of our teachings and doctrines, we are shared with Sunni brothers. And we respect them and we pay respect to them as our Sunni brothers. And sometimes these studies that may conducted by the Westerners, sometimes they want to make kind of disagreement among us to promote these differences among us. Mm-hmm. This kind of studies may be conducted by this kind of intention, that we must be aware, we Muslims, Shia Muslims, Sunni Muslims, you are all should be conscious, should be aware of these kind of things. That's why, of course, Tashayyu should not be misinterpreted or misunderstood by the others.
Is the other way back correct to you? For example, we have some people among our Sunni brethren who are just and fair about the Ahl al-Bayt, and in heart they believe in their being right. Can we call them the true Shias too? I mean, from the Ahl al-Sunnah, can somebody call the Shia or not?
Where do they take the religion? I asked this question. From who do they take the religion? When they pray, do they pray that the manner that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam taught Hurayz or Hariz? Or do they pray in the manner that Abu Hanifa taught his followers?
Whom?
These people that you're asking.
Okay.
From where do they take the religion? How they pray, how they talk, what they say. Because we believe as Shias, this ideology of Shia. There's of course the saying that came up to my mind, Salamullah alayka Abu Abdullah, Sadiq alayhi salam, Abu Abdullah al-Sadiq. A man came during the when Imam Baqir alayhi salam passed away. He came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, supposedly sending his condolences and whatnot. He said that I want to go to kind of annoy him. he got out of the majlis, you know, saying that we used to be surprised that there used to be a person in this time to say that qala Rasulullah without a chain of narrators, without a chain of reporters. Now I've seen a man that says qala Allah without a chain of reporters when he saw Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Us Shias, we believe that when we're listening to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, we are listening to Allah. We are taking our religion from Allah. We are taking religion, not only actions.
Yes.
Beliefs, politics, everything. Mm-hmm. As a community, as a whole, every action you do, my brother, mm-hmm. every feeling that you feel, everything that you think and want to do and have intentions for, where do you take it from? This is the main question. If they say that no, we don't take it from Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, then why should we consider them? Why we should consider them, you know, Shias in this term that we use nowadays? Another thing to keep in mind is that one of the things to kind of differentiate between the Shias and the Sunnis is taqdim al khulafa ala amir al mu'minin alayhi salam. This points out to the fact that understanding the successorship of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. There's this book, it's not that bad actually, it's very good. The Shia, I think it's called Shia, it's like that American woman actually wrote it. And pretty much shows how the sect was made. Mm-hmm. It wasn't made. It's pretty much a continuation. I've seen some researchers, they say that no, Shi'azm, from the West, of course, was not made, was not created. Rather, Shi'azm was a continuation of a thought that was available in the time of the Prophet.
Of the Prophet Muhammad, that's right.
Us, we believe, no, we're the true Muslims.
Oh.
Why? Because we're taking from the Prophet. Atiyu Allah wa atiyu Rasulahu wa lil amri minkum. That's what we're doing.
So the most faithful companions of Prophet Muhammad were called the true Shias, and then it was automatically transferred to Imam Ali alayhi salam. And they claimed that, like Abazar, Salman, Maqdad, and the others.
Salman, Maqdad, I have never heard one time in their life state that they were, actually, that they were Shia. Mm-hmm. They say, we are lovers.
Lovers, that's right.
There's the story of Abazar al-Ghafari radwanullah ta'ala alayhi. He was kicked out of Medina.
Yes.
By who? The third caliph. And when Amir al-Mu'mineen, Salman al-Farisi, a couple of people were with him to tell him goodbye before being abandoned from the Medina, he said, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, each one told them something. Imam Hussein alayhi salam told them that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for standing up with us, for defending us. What did Abu Dhar say? He said, Hammi lakum. My entire life, my satisfaction, my intention, all of it is for you. Not one time did he call himself a Shia. Mm-hmm. This is the truth. This is the ideology.
Sincerity
in following them. Inna al-muhibb liman ahabba.
He was exiled. He bore difficult situations.
I think that we should really just, you know, understand that when you understand this, it really drives you more to do good actions. It drives you more to, you know, kind of be humble with this fact. Not being proud. I'm proud. I'm a Shia. Be humble. Yes. Be humble in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay, thank you very much, Brother Habib. And Shaykh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding the concept of Shiism. How do you define it and what is the main responsibility of being a Shia? It was very kind of you. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/en. Call of Islam, page 10. Another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanullah.
Allahumma ja'al mahyaya mahyaya محمد وآل محمد ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد. I swear to Allah, you have shown us so much courage through the pain. You sacrificed your family and were killed thirsty for Hussein.